So the title of my message, if ever there's you need a title, is The Goodness of God. And it's based on the verse in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Oh, I love that. That's absolutely, I'll say yes to that one, okay. But I use goodness and mercy because I grew up with a translation called King James Version. If you read anything else other than the King James Version, they thought you'd slipped away from serving God. So a lot of my references go back easy to the King James Version. So I love, surely goodness and mercy. I want to start off this morning with reading a portion of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, to try and put into perspective this whole thing. And you know, as I stand here, people say, oh, Dan, what about you? I said, well, I'm a fat man with one leg, three toes, nine fingers, hopping to get to heaven one day. So if there's anything, just hopping to get to heaven one day. I used to say hoping till Bab says, you're not hoping, you're going to heaven. I said, okay, hopping to get to heaven, okay. And Paul writes and he says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. A person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them as foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned through the Spirit. Father, we just thank you this morning that as we just look into your word, speak about what you've done for us, we will discern things by your Spirit. Have you ever thought how to define goodness? This is good. But good for people across the world mean different things. It's one of those ones that's like nailing jelly to the wall, isn't it? To define, I'm going to try and get through a little bit of English lesson over here. I failed O-level English 7 times, okay. To define is to state or describe exactly the nature, scope, or meaning of. I stopped there. Because I'm going to try and explain to you somehow what the goodness of God is. Or dip my big toe. I've only got one big toe, into the water to try and understand this. How do you measure the goodness of God? Let's define measure. With an engineering background, it's easy. Everything is measured. You measure very accurately. It means to compare one thing to another. You got that? Okay, some are sleeping already. My goodness me. Okay, I'll get there. Okay. It means comparing one thing to another. When you try, there is nothing to compare the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Why should we ask it? We're comparing an earthly experience to an eternal fact. That's what we do when we start comparing God as what we experience here. I mean, it's the same in heaven. It isn't. It's quite different the way God. There's no way to compare anything that God does to what we do here. How we live here. I can remember I was doing a funeral of a friend of mine. His father had passed away. And both his father and his grandfather had photographic memories. They were both atheists. And you could ask them, Jeremiah 13:42, boom, and they'd just come out of there. They could quote any verse from the Bible at any time, but they were atheists. And we were outside in Zimbabwe, and there was a huge tree, a lucky bean tree, and we were sitting under in the cool of a very hot summer's day, and I looked down, and this tree must have been about 10 meters high, I suppose, and about 10 meters in diameter where we sat. And I reached down, I saw the little berry, little lucky bean, red bean with a black top on it, this big. And I said, when we look at this and compare it to the tree, there is no comparison, is there? Any tree seed. But I said, this is what the Bible tells about us. We are sown as a seed, but we wake up in eternity. We cannot compare it. We do not understand it. My personal experience with this is I can't define, you most probably realized, or measure the goodness of God. I live in it and experience it. That's how I know what it is. It's my life. It's my experience. It's my 24 hours a day. Whatever years the good Lord gives us is experiencing His goodness and His mercy. That's what it is. I believe in God, not because my parents told me, not because the church told me, but because I've experienced His goodness and His mercy. I've experienced it. It is so much part of my life that really it doesn't matter what gets thrown our ways. I know the goodness of God. See, that's why I can quote that song that we sang about, that we looked at, we saw that over there. Surely, I'm not going to define surely. Surely you know what it means. What follows me? Okay, let's try that again. We only got half the choir. Okay, surely. Will follow me. How many days of my life?
All
the days of my life. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is experiencing God. Almost a face-to-face relationship with God. And Moses turns around and says, God, show me your glory. Ever been in such an intimate moment with God? When you just said, God, I just want to see more of you than I've ever known before. That's where Moses was. Just show me your glory. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass in front of you. Not his glory, but I'll show you my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Goodness, mercy, glory, compassion. These seems all part and parcel of the multifaceted God that we serve. You see, I'm going to pick on four words this morning. I'm going to pick on four words this morning. Thank you. If you don't know, you can go. So just, okay, so it doesn't matter. Four words that stand out to me. Actually, no. Can I make it five? Oh, I don't think I can carry on with five. I've got, okay, five words. Glory, goodness, graciousness, compassion, and mercy just came out from those few verses that I read this morning. Lamentations 3:20. Have you ever read the book of Lamentations? I promise you, read the whole Bible, because one day when you get to heaven, Jeremiah is going to get a hold of you and say, did you read Lamentations? Imagine standing in heaven and saying, no, I never read your book. So, I'm not kind of Christian, were you? But Lamentations 3:22, and he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What a handful. What a bunch of words to take in concerning our God and his relationship with us. Five words. You happy with five words? Can I do six? Sorry? Okay, we can try six. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. Thank you, Lord. No, five words. No, six words that have a great meaning to me. I hope the same to you. Can you remember them? Glory, goodness, graciousness, compassion, mercy, and love. Shall we add love there? Was that, you're happy with that to make it six, the sixth word this morning? Just the love of God is so wonderful. Is there a song that goes something, oh, the love of God is so wonderful? Nearly 3 years ago, well, over 3 years ago, Babs and I moved here to England to be with our children. And spent the last days we have on earth with them. With them and our precious grandchildren. We have six of them. We've been blessed with six grandchildren. And whenever we go out with our grandchildren, our kids seem to hang around all the time. You know, I had two kids that I grew up and had to pay for everything. Now I've got eight of them to look after and pay for them. But it doesn't really matter. It's actually very, very, 10 of them, okay. The timing was perfect. We could not have done it any better. It was right sort of in the midst of the COVID. There was a break between the COVID things that the world invented for us. Our visas came through. We're here on an ancestral visa. My grandfather was Scottish. The visas came through. We got airline tickets. And we came here. We came over, had to do 10 days quarantine. And then the next COVID thing kicked in. It couldn't have been better timed than just that. Why? Because that's what God wanted for us. It's interesting how so many things. Yes, we left the nation of our birth. And in our nation, we had many very, very varied experiences. Good experiences, bad experiences, lived through a civil war. That actually started in 1800s and finished 90 years later. There was this continual barrage of war going on. I don't want to go into the ethnics of anything, but we were in a civil war as a nation. Yet, there was always a time and a place to serve God. Even out in the military field, we had these sky jockeys, as we used to call them, or God botherers, the chaplain, and our little Gideon's Bible. We had these things. There was always a time to serve God. Our Heavenly Father, to experience His goodness. You know what it is? Is we never allowed fear to dominate or corrode our confidence in God. You know, the very first question in the Bible, I don't know if you know what it is. The very first question, when the devil came to Eve and he said, did God say? Did God say? And that still rings out. Even till today. Somebody will not unknowingly know, did God say? Do not let fear dominate. Do not lose the confidence that we have in the goodness of God. In 1972, at the age of 25, I was diagnosed with Hansen's disease, leprosy, having contracted the disease when I was contracted the disease when I was 5 years old. Where from? We don't know. But I had that disease in my body. At that time, I was living in a detour in life. I wasn't serving God. Wasn't a good place in my life. I thought I was doing. I was diagnosed in 72. In 1974, I came out in a reaction, what was called a type 2 reaction. I could hardly see out of my eyes, my ears, but they had welts down my arms and my legs. And I can remember one day I was lying in hospital in an isolation ward, in a ward by myself, because I had leprosy. Although there was accepted in the country, we were still treated as something special. And there was this bright light that came into my room. I have no idea. I was sick and very sick. Anyway, just a little while later, my pastor came to me. And he came in through me and says, Dan, what's happened to you? I said, oh, I don't know. So he began discussing. And I said, I saw this light. So he said, oh, okay. You don't know what it was. I don't know how long it was there for, what it came for, anything like that. And him, being a clever man, said, I think Jesus visited you. Hallelujah. My heart leapt. I said, Jesus still visits lepers. A little while later, Babs came. She says, what's happened to you? So I said, Jesus visited me. God has given us so much strength. Yes, I wasn't instantly healed. I just got healed better, a whole lot quicker. What it is I could say that Simon, the man that had leprosy, Jesus visited him. Dan, the man that had leprosy, Jesus visited him. We were told, have children, get on with life. In 1978, Babs was diagnosed with leprosy. The general statistics are that only 5% can get leprosy. That 5% got married. Was there a plan and a purpose? Did we understand it? But today, that purpose has put us here. That purpose has brought you here to hear what I'm going to be sharing. And so I've made the Durstons friends of ours for decades. What the devil meant for negative, God turned into a positive. I taught this for years and years. Every negative of life is turned into a positive at the cross of Jesus. And that's what it's helped us through. In 1980, I had a leg amputated. After 3 years of horrific infections. 2020, I had a finger amputated. 2021, a toe amputated. 2022, a second toe amputated. Excuse me. From 2000 to 2023, I've had the privilege of going to multiple places through this world, sharing our testimony. What is our testimony? Surely, so I began to see this and I thought, well, hang on. Surely, goodness and mercy behind me. If I lifted up a rear view mirror, what is the first thing I'm going to see? Goodness and mercy. Isn't it? Shall follow me. So I want you to, this morning, I was just telling somebody this morning, we believe in signs and wonders. The minister does many signs, everybody's wondering what he's doing, okay? So this morning, can you do a sign with me? Put a hand up. Now turn it this way like a rear view mirror. Look in there. Look in there. What do you see? Goodness and mercy. So it doesn't matter what is ahead of you, what is behind you. There's a hand on your left shoulder, a hand on your right shoulder, and their names are? Will follow me all the days of my life, regardless of what's laid in front of me. Goodness and mercy are there. When Babs and I look back, surely are in our lives as we follow through. I want to quote my best friend. Excuse me. See if you can guess who this is. Peace, I leave with you. My peace, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do you know who's that? Who I'm quoting? Can I put it this way? God said, my love I give you. I pour my life into you. If he's given it, do I have to ask for it? No. What do I have to do? Like any gift, you have to go and take it. I love in the Eastern countries, when you give somebody something, You give it with two hands, and they take it with two hands. And it's appreciated. We have some Dutch friends, and you give them a gift. They then open it there and then. It's not sort of pushed to the side. They open up that gift there and then. Or they, friends of us, are guests. Oh, what did you give you? And we always try to hide what we had in there. And one guy, he got it every single. Mike got it right every time. I don't know how. But I think sometimes we need to do what God's got for us and take it with both hands. Open our hearts and our minds up and dig into it and see what there is for us. Put up a mirror. Look in it. What do you see? You know, if it was in Africa, okay. Hallelujah! I'm in Chippenham and I'll still do it. It doesn't matter. Because that's how I feel inside. Something stirs in me when I begin to it. It's a peace, not as the world gives, but it's a peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. So I've given you six words. Can you remember them? Okay, I'm going to spoil. I'm going to give you seven. Seven words that greatly affect me. Glory, say it after me so that you remember. Glory, goodness, graciousness, compassion, mercy, love, and now this is a new one, peace. Seven wonderful things. If it's Gabriel, I'll tell him I'm a bit busy at the moment. Today, our Heavenly Father has called and commissioned Babs and I to travel where He leads us. He sends us to be advocates for people with leprosy. And we don't tell other people's stories. We tell our stories. We're trying to display and mercy. When life gets tough, there's a beautiful song that's been circulating the Christian movement. I love you, Lord, and your mercy never fails me. All the days of my life, I've been in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I take, I want to speak of your goodness. You see, there are four words. No five. No six. Actually, that try to define the goodness of God. Try to define it. Glory, goodness, graciousness, compassion, mercy, love. You know, when you grasp these words, when these words become part of your life, when they saturate your soul and your mind and your hearts, we will understand the scripture that Paul wrote, and he says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. When you understand that, the rest of the world doesn't understand it because the spirit by spirit you discern this. We could have been wrecks. We could have taken to alcohol. You know, when I was diagnosed, we'd been married with leprosy. We'd been married just on 2 years, hadn't even made 2 years. Driving home, I said to Babs, I never knew I had leprosy when I married you. But I want to give you the opportunity. We can annul our marriage. You can start your life, and I will continue in my life. She said, no. She said, number one, I love you. Number two, before God and man, we said, until death. I hadn't known at that time that she had already contracted leprosy from me. For her to be diagnosed 5 years later. Come on. Come on. Come on. Will follow me all the days of my life. You see, as Christians, we never get bad news. We get news that's hard, but we do know, and we cling, that all things work together for good. Seven words. If you know them, remember them. Glory, goodness, graciousness, compassion, mercy, love, and peace shall follow me all the days of my life. It was a lady by the name of Queen Esther who was asked to sacrifice her life to the king. Uncle Mordecai said, go to the king. Go and tell him what Haman wants to do to us. She went there in fear and in trembling. She says, I'm going to get killed. He said, go for such a time like this. For such a time like this today, we're here together. And the king held out his scepter to her. We've just seen our king recently being crowned. And he had his scepter. But there is an eternal king that holds out a scepter often. Come on. And today, he's saying, my son, my daughter, do you need to touch the scepter? Do you? I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what's going on. But do you need to go to the king? Put your hand on the scepter. Fully understanding. Come on. Follow me for the days of my life. Amen.